This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 24th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, taking a closer look at the back of the hotel door. And your AM 580 forecast. But first, a look at today's news. Two lifelong Danville residents are launching a campaign to raise money to fix the entranceway to Harrison Park, home of the city's public golf course. Homer Hillary and Tom Bott say they want to restore the park's 70-year-old stone entranceway to its original condition. That means cleaning and tuck-pointing the stone masonry and replacing the deteriorating concrete cap. Bott says they want to bring the Harrison Park entranceway to the same level as the rest of the park.
The city has maintained the main clubhouse as such and put money into it, big money, in the past years, and it's still in pretty good shape. But the entrance is the part that it's disintegrating, and that's the first thing visitors see. And locals see when they go into it, of course.
Hillary and Bott are launching a campaign to raise about half the cost for the $12,000 project. The city of Danville has agreed to pay the other half. Hillary says they've found various ways to keep costs down, including using less expensive sillstone to replace the concrete cap. Contributions for the project can be sent to Danville City Hall, made out to the city, and earmarked for the Harrison Park Entranceway Fund. The National High School Rodeo Association finals are back in Illinois. Over 1,600 students from all across the nation will compete in Springfield this week. But an animal rights organization says the state was wrong to host it because the horses and cattle are treated inhumanely. Amanda Vinicki has the story.
According to the State Department of Agriculture, the rodeo championships are a celebration of agriculture. Officials say it's a sport full of tradition that will bring Central Illinois an economic boost of $6 to $8 million. But the president of an organization known as SHARC, showing animals respect and kindness, sees it differently. Steve Hindy says the last time Illinois hosted the event in 2001, he documented instances of cruelty.
There's the calf roping where this 3 to 4 month old animal is clotheslined, body slammed, tied up, and then oftentimes dragged by the neck.
Hindy says he expects it will happen again. But spokeswoman Chris Herbert says the Illinois Department of Agriculture found animals weren't treated wrongly then. She says animal investigators will be present 24/7, and they will immediately report it if they witness any instances of illegal cruelty. I'm Amanda Vinicki.
The family of a Lebanese-American Champaign resident has safely left war-torn Lebanon and could be on their way home as early as today. Sam's Cafe owner, Sam Issa, says he still hasn't spoken with wife Toti, but learned from the State Department over the weekend that she and 13-month-old son John had boarded a ship for Cyprus early Saturday morning, among the many that are getting out to escape the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Issa says it's possible his wife and son may have already left for the U.S., but he's gotten all his information from the State Department thus far.
I don't know if they're on a hotel. I don't know if they're, like, on a boat, you know, like luxury boat or something, they're sleeping on. So I have no idea really what they're doing. That's why I really want to, you know, talk to somebody, but I felt, well, my goal was for her to leave, and she did, so that's all what counts for now.
Issa says he plans to contact the State Department again this morning for an update. He says Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson and other federal lawmakers did all they could to expedite the process of getting his family out of harm's way. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says Iran is to blame for the conflict in Lebanon and Israel, saying the nation funds the militant group Hezbollah.
The same thing is going on in Iraq. The Iranians are providing resources, improvised explosive devices and things that are killing innocent people and American soldiers on a daily basis. Iran at this point is a state that is sponsoring terrorism in the Middle East, and it clearly has to be stopped.
Durbin stopped short of saying the U.S. should take direct military action to stop the fighting, but says if such a response is required, U.N. forces, including Arabs and Muslims, should take the lead. Durbin says the United States should start with a diplomatic approach to curb the perceived threat from Iran. Democrats should openly talk about their religious beliefs and moral values, say moderates urging the party to court voters beyond the traditional Democratic base. Among them is U.S. Senator Barack Obama. He raised eyebrows in Washington with a speech last month in which he warned that far-right conservatives would continue to hold sway unless the Democratic Party competes for the support of evangelical Christians and other church-going Americans. The topic was discussed at the Centrist Democratic Leadership Council's annual meeting this weekend in Denver. Moderates fear the Democratic Party could squander its chance to be the party in power if it only focuses on energizing voters in urban Democratic strongholds. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. If you're planning on a hotel stay this summer, check out the back of the hotel room door. As commentator Amy Guida explains in this edition of Legal Issues in the News, the print may be tiny, but it's worth a squint.
Close the door in a hotel room and check out the signs there. You'll find a map of the floor showing your room's location, some outrageous daily rate, and then sometimes something about hotel liability, something mighty tough to read in so many ways. Here's what it probably says, paraphrasing now. The hotel has a safe. If you don't use it, the hotel isn't liable for much when your valuables are stolen. If you do use the safe, the hotel still isn't liable for much. That simple rule has been around for a very long time, back when we pulled up to inns not in Mustangs, but on them, on horses. At least that's what a guest was riding in one of the very first innkeeper liability cases, one from 150 years ago in 1852 in Quincy, Illinois. The guest checked in, and reminiscent of today's valet parking, a hotel worker took the horse back to the hotel's stable. During the night, the horse died. The guest sued the innkeeper for the loss of his horse. The case eventually reached the Illinois Supreme Court, and there, justices laid out an apparent conflict in innkeeper liability history and public policy. One, that hotel operators had every opportunity to steal from their guests, and therefore should be liable for most losses. Two, that it's not fair to punish the innkeeper unless he's truly at fault. The court went with the latter and found the innkeeper not liable. And that's the way the law remains today, pretty much. The small print on the back of the hotel door in Illinois is called the Innkeeper Protection Act, passed by the legislature in 1909, but around in a different form long before then. And it does protect the innkeeper. Say that you have a jewel-encrusted dinner ring in your suitcase when you check into an Illinois hotel. The hotel has a safe, but you leave the ring in your room anyway and return to find it missing. Too bad. The hotel's liable for no more than a small portion of the ring's value, like $250. And the use of the safe scenario isn't much better. If you put your ring in the safe and it turns up missing, the hotel's liable for no more than $500. That's even if the hotel was negligent in some way. So play predict the outcome. A company creates a fabulous prototype worth thousands of dollars, or so the company claims. A company official brings it to a hotel conference room for a business meeting. Hotel managers promise to lock the conference room, but do not. The prototype is, of course, missing in the morning. It's not a whodunit, but a who's liable. And in the end, the court decided that no matter what, the hotel is limited to only a $250 payout for its negligence. So that's what that little sign on the back of the hotel room door says in so many words, varying from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And you know the other sign? The one that sometimes hangs near the hotel's bathrobe, suggesting that you should buy one if you like it? That's a polite way to let you in on another law affecting hotel guests. Take any item of hotel property, face criminal charges. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 60s, southwest winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs around 90, south winds around 10 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 24th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.